So now we're going to read for the last time this year from Isaiah, and it's Isaiah chapter 55. Come all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labour on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me, and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me, hear me, that your soul may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. See, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander of the peoples. Surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations that do not know you will hasten to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush will grow the pine tree, and instead of briars the myrtle will grow. This will be for the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign which will not be destroyed. Amen. Number 200. If you've closed your Bibles, please open them again to the book of Isaiah as we spend some time thinking about Isaiah chapter 55. Want faster broadband? Fed up of large gas bills? Trying to eradicate split ends? Can't seem to shed those few extra unwanted pounds? Need to send emails on the go? Now, they might just be some of the advertisements you've had through the letterbox this week. See, advertisements point out to us that our world is dissatisfied. We are dissatisfied with our technology. We are dissatisfied by the money we have in the bank. We are dissatisfied by what we look like and the spare time we don't have, to name but a few of our most common disappointments. Now, it's easy to see that in the world, isn't it? You just drive around, you look at a billboard, you look at people and how they act. But if we stop and if we begin to analyse our own lives and what drives us and what we give our time to, we will soon see, if we dare admit it and dare to analyse ourselves in this way, that actually we too can also be dissatisfied. We probably can be dissatisfied in many of the ways that unbelievers are dissatisfied. Or perhaps what about this one? Maybe we are dissatisfied with our Christian life. If you're a Christian tonight, I doubt there has ever been a time where you could say, you've never said, is this it? Is there not more to it than this? See, the reality is we live in a dissatisfied world, and all too often we also are dissatisfied for whatever reason. But great news tonight, because our passage is an invitation for us to enjoy lasting satisfaction. So if you have ever been dissatisfied, this is an invitation for you. To help us understand this passage, 3 points we're going to think tonight. Firstly, about who is the invitation to, then what is the invitation to, and finally, how do we take up the invitation? So firstly, who is the invitation to? Or to put differently, who is invited? If you look down with me at verse 1, you'll see the answer right at the beginning of our passage. Verse 1 says, "Come, all you who are thirsty." Come, all you who are thirsty. The prophet is inviting thirsty people. Notice, partway through the verse, he changes his analogy and he goes on to say, "And you who have no money, come." So, who's the prophet inviting? Thirsty, penniless people. Now, of course, it's obvious to us, isn't it, that these are analogies. The invitation is to people who are in want, people who are dissatisfied. Now, verse 2 is interesting because the analogy changes again. This time, it changes to hunger. It talks about bread. But verse 2, if you look closely at that verse, actually tells us more about these people. These people are not just dissatisfied. They have tried to find satisfaction, but the thing they have looked to for satisfaction has failed them. Why am I saying that? Well, just look at the verse. "Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labour on what does not satisfy?" So the illustration is, they have taken money and they have bought something. They thought the thing that they were buying was bread, but actually it's not bread. Actually, they've been let down. The thing they've purchased isn't satisfying them. They are still hungry. Or, to put it this way, they've laboured towards something. They thought this labouring would bring satisfaction, but again, they've been left dissatisfied. Now, they are illustrations or analogies describing what the people that Isaiah is writing to have been doing. To help us to understand this, we need to know what they've been doing. We've been looking at this over the last few weeks. G.K. Beale, in his book We Become What We Worship, explains that God's judgment, as detailed in Isaiah chapter 6, in Isaiah's commission, is a judgment due to the nation's sin of idolatry. So Isaiah is speaking to a people who are committing idolatry. And if G.K. Beale is right, which we've seen over the last few weeks he is, because we've seen all the chapters on, well, certainly some of the chapters on idolatry, these people in chapter 55 have been let down from idol worship. They have been worshipping idols, and the result is they have been let down and left dissatisfied. Now we know that. Let's turn back just so we can confirm that from some of the passages we've looked at for the last couple of weeks. So firstly, turn with me to Isaiah 44 and verses 12 and 13. We looked at this a few weeks ago. Isaiah 44, and this is verses 12 and 13. Notice, watch out for the language that we see in Isaiah 55 as we read. "The blacksmith takes a tool and works with it in the coals. He shapes an idol with hammers. He forges it with the might of his arm." Notice what the prophet says. "He gets hungry and loses his strength. He drinks no water," which would mean what? He's thirsty. "He drinks no water and grows faint." Verse 13, "The carpenter measures with a line and makes an outline with a marker. He roughs it out with chisels and marks it with compasses. He shapes it in the form of man, of man in all his glory, that it may dwell in a shrine." Notice also, move forward with me to Isaiah 46 and verse 6. Isaiah 46 and verse 6, it says this, "Some pour out gold from their bags and weigh out silver on the scales. They hire a goldsmith to make it into a god, and they bow down and worship it." So the people that we're reading about who are worshipping idols in those verses are described as spending money. They are described as being people who are labouring, people who are thirsty, and people who are hungry. This is exactly who Isaiah is addressing in chapter 55. People who have been left dissatisfied from idol worship. So this invitation comes to those who have been let down by worshipping idols. Why have they been let down? Why have the idols let them down? Well, the reason why they've been left dissatisfied is because we're not created to worship idols. We don't have time to go into this, but we're created to worship God. In the rest of the book of Isaiah, some of the passages we've not looked at, but we would see if we read the whole book, that Isaiah tells us that idol worship actually leads to us becoming like the idols that we worship. People who worship idols become blind and they become deaf. In other words, instead of bringing satisfaction, idols leave people dissatisfied and also less receptive to God. That's what idolatry does. It makes us less able to hear God's voice. Now, you might say that sounds pretty bad. And it is bad not being able to hear from God. But you might be quick to think, but that doesn't include me. I've never hired a goldsmith. I've never gone and got something melted down into an idol. I don't fall into that category. This invitation simply isn't for me because I'm not dissatisfied from idol worship. But it is for you. It is for me. Because we've mentioned on numerous occasions that an idol is anything we cling hold of or look to for ultimate security. So therefore, just because we don't have a shrine in our bedroom doesn't mean that we've not committed idolatry. If we're looking to anything for satisfaction other than God's, we too will be less receptive to him. We too will also be dissatisfied. This is what one author writes, commenting on the sin of idolatry. He says this: make and trust a blind idol and you will become blind. Apply the principle to the modern world and think of the idols of our own day. What do we make and what do we trust? Things, toys, technology. And so our hearts and our affections are formed by these things. They compress the void in our heart into shapes like toys. The result is that we're easily moved and excited by things, computers, cars, appliances, entertainment media. They seem to fit the shapes in our hearts. They feel good in the tiny spaces we have made. But in this readiness to receive pleasure from things, we are ill-shaped for Christ. He seems unreal, unattractive, and the eyes of our hearts grow dull. Now, that commentator is just mentioning one idol of our culture. And like, again, we've mentioned in previous weeks, there are many. Work, holidays, family, pleasure, acceptance, success. I mean, we could go on, or we could even look at our Christian lives. You know, it's possible to have idols in our Christian lives. Religion, legalism, our reputation, power, the quality of our sermons. The list could go on. All these things, if our hearts are clinging to them for meaning, will leave us feeling dissatisfied. Why? Well, the phone grows old, doesn't it? The car just doesn't do it for us anymore. The power we fought for just seems like a burden. The reputation we have isn't good enough with enough people. So what do we need to do? Well, it ends up having to do verse 2. We need to spend more. We need to labour harder. But again, these things just do not satisfy. We strive, we spend, but actually we're striving and spending on all the wrong things, which simply do not satisfy. So let's move on and ask the question. That's who the invitation is to. Let's ask the question, what is the invitation to? What is this invitation that Isaiah is offering to? So let's look at these verses. Verse 1 again. Come, all you who are thirsty. Come to the waters. That's what people who have been clinging to idols have invited to. Come to the waters. Come and buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Second half of verse 2. Listen to me and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. So back to the analogy. Thirsty people are invited to the waters. Thirsty people are invited to have, end of verse 1, wine and milk. Hungry people are invited, end of verse 2, to have the richest of fare. Now, I think this is great, because thirsty people are not offered a cup of water. They're invited to the waters. It speaks of abundance. It speaks of plenty. Now, what's this? This is, of course, an analogy. What's it pointing to? Well, look at verse 3. Give ear and come to me. Hear me, that your soul may live. That your soul may live. The invitation is to real life, not fake life, not life from an idol, which can't satisfy. Real life. 7b tells us a little bit more again. Let him turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. The invitation is to have our sins forgiven, to have all that hurt and pain that we've caused God, everything gone, wiped out, no longer there. See, that's what we're invited to. Aren't they just the sweetest of words? We're invited to a relationship with God and to be truly satisfied by him. Now, what makes Isaiah chapter 55 so amazing, and this invitation so amazing, is we must realize and remember who the invitation is to. Remember, it's to those who have made a block of wood their God. It's to people who have trusted in God rather than the one true living God, who have trusted false gods. That's who the invitation is to. People who have made things their God. People who have made houses their God. People who have looked to other people for acceptance and worth. That's who the invitation is to. This invitation is to people who have sought to make their own name great rather than God's name as great. That's who is invited. It's to these people that an invitation of lasting satisfaction is offered. God is saying, I will forgive you and I will abundantly satisfy you. See, he freely pardons, he gives real life, life with him, true meaning, true contentment. See, not approval from a creature, but approval from the Creator. Not love from a person, but the supernatural. Not security in the fallible, but the infallible. Aren't the analogies great? See, right through the Bible, we can look at many different places. When God is trying to explain to us through his word what it's like to have a relationship with him, he so often uses banqueting language. What's the point? The point is, life with God is a joyful thing. Think about the best party you've been to. Think about one of our buffet lunches downstairs. And then times it by infinity. That's what's been offered to us. Incredible, all secured through the death and resurrection of our King, Brother, Saviour, Sustainer and Friend, Jesus Christ. The hymn writer puts it like this: who can cheer the heart like Jesus? By his presence all divine, true and tender, pure and precious, oh, how blessed to call him mine. All that thrills my soul is Jesus. He is more than life to me, and the fairest of 10,000 in my blessed Lord I see. There is no thrill, there is no joy that we can experience that comes close to the joy that comes from God. So we've seen, who is the invitation to? It's people who are thirsty, people who have been left dissatisfied from idol worship. The invitation is to come to God, an invitation to come and be satisfied. So final point, how do we take up the invitation? How do we take up this invitation from God to be satisfied? Well, again, back to verse 1. Verse 1 says, come all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. So how do we take the invitation? Well, at this point in verse 1, we're not actually told. But the analogy reveals something extremely interesting to us. Did you notice the language that was used in verse 1? I find the language used in verse 1 a little bit strange and a little bit odd. Because those who have no money, that's halfway through verse 1, and you who have no money, are told to buy and eat. Now, that's pretty difficult, isn't it? If you meet someone who has no money, who is hungry, and you say to them, go and buy and eat, what are they going to say to you? I have no money. I cannot buy because I'm skint. I have no money. But the next part of the verse explains to us how it's possible. So it says, come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Now, just think about it. If you were writing that verse, how would you have written it? Because if I was writing it, I would have said, come all you who are thirsty, come and receive. I wouldn't say come and buy when they don't have any money. What's the point? Why does the prophet insert the word buy? Well, I think it's because the prophet wants us to know, needs us to know, that this is free, but it's also costly. So it costs nothing, but it also costs everything. What do I mean? Am I just creating a bigger conundrum in our minds? Possibly. Let's look at verse 2, second half. So it says this, listen, listen to me and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Hear me, that your soul may live. Now tonight, I don't know if in the congregation we have any Radio 4 listeners. Anyone listen to Radio 4? Yeah, some people listen to Radio 4. Now let's for a moment, assume that you wanted to listen to Radio 5. Okay, so you're in the car, and you're going to change it over to Radio 5. What is the cost of listening to Radio 5? Now, in one sense, it's costing you nothing, is it? You just press the button, and I'm not talking about wear and tear because of the extra voltage. I'm not talking about that. What is the cost? In one sense, it's free, but pressing that button and going to Radio 5 costs you listening to Radio 4. Okay, so you now listen to Radio 5, but as a result, it's cost you listening to Radio 4. Ever been in a conversation with someone in a room and you hear someone talking about you? Ever been in this situation? And so you're trying to talk to this person, but you're trying to desperately listen to see what that person's saying about you over there. So you're zoomed in over there. What's the cost of doing that? You're not actually listening to this person anymore, are you? You might be nodding along, but you're not actually clued up with what they're saying. See, you are listening to somebody else, and that has cost you listening to the person you're talking to. Now, that's what we're being called to do. Satisfaction, life, rich fare is being offered. It's free, but we have to buy it. See, verse 7 puts it like this. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. So to take up this free, costly invitation, we need to, verse 2, be listening, verse 3, giving ear, verse 6, seeking. Instead of taking up the invitation of the idol, we have to take up the invitation of God. Instead of listening to the idol and following what he says, we need to listen to God and follow what he says. So it's costly. It's free because all we're doing is listening, but that's costing us listening to the idol. Now, at this point, I want to make something abundantly clear. If you are looking to anything other than Jesus for satisfaction, you will not find satisfaction in that thing, whatever it is. That's what Isaiah 55 is telling us. All other things other than the Lord Jesus Christ and a relationship with him are not bread. They will leave you hungry and thirsty and dissatisfied. We need to hear the call of Jesus and turn to him, to stop listening to everything else and start listening to him. But this passage in Isaiah 55 isn't just a turn to Jesus for satisfaction, become a Christian message. It's more than that. This passage, I think this passage has been referred to, or reveals a principle at least, that is referred to as the gospel gap. Now, what do I mean by the gospel gap? I think we are all pretty good at coming to Jesus thinking, I need eternal satisfaction and I need to be able to spend eternity with him because the other option isn't great. So I'm going to turn to him and look to him for satisfaction. But then through time, through the knocks and bangs of life, through the sights and sounds of the world, all of a sudden we get a bit dissatisfied. And all of a sudden, without maybe even realising it, we start looking for satisfaction in things which the Bible says aren't helpful. Sometimes we start looking for satisfaction in the things that the Bible just plainly says is sinful. And we drift on through life and we think, well, I'm not really satisfied in Jesus and I feel pretty rotten about some of the stuff that I'm doing, but it's okay because one day I'm going to be in heaven forever and that's okay, so I'll just sort of go through life a bit dissatisfied, but we'll get there if I keep my head down. That's called the gospel gap because that's not what the gospel is for or about. The gospel, yes, it's for the future. Yes, it's for the sins of the past being dealt with, but the gospel is for now. We should be satisfied in the Lord Jesus Christ now. It is sinful to be looking for ultimate satisfaction in things other than Jesus. It is wrong to be looking to the idols of toys, houses, people's acclaim, sensual pleasure, or whatever it is when we are tired, stressed, or feeling discontent. They are not the things we should be running to. This invitation is to come and be satisfied, not just in the past, not just in the future. It's being satisfied in Jesus now. It's being satisfied in Jesus tomorrow morning when I go to school or college or the office and everyone else thinks I'm a bit weird and a bit old-fashioned for believing in that Jesus business and going to church. Being satisfied is being satisfied in Jesus now when you're not popular because you're the only person that's a follower of Jesus. Being satisfied is being satisfied now when actually I'm on my own and I'm single and it all feels like life's going nowhere. Being satisfied with Jesus is being satisfied even when people in your family are giving you a nightmare and you just don't know how things are going to turn out. It's being satisfied in the here and now. How? How can we do this? Yeah, we know it's listening to God and not listening to the idols in the world, but how can we do it? How can we take up this invitation to be satisfied in the here and now when we're in the heat of temptation and in the heat of the battle? How do we do it? Well, it's picking up on something that we looked at a couple of Sunday mornings ago. We must learn the art of speaking gospel truth to ourselves. Somebody once very helpfully said this, Satan is preaching for sure. Listen to that, repeat it in your mind. Satan is preaching for sure. If you just drift through life, be under no illusion, Satan is preaching to each and every one of us. What is the message he's preaching? Well, the first recorded words we have of his in the Bible say this, did God really say? Now, Satan's going to be a bit more subtle than that, but that's the main gist. His main gist that he is preaching is there is satisfaction to be found in something other than God's. But beneath his lies, his message is actually all false. He's offering things that he claims are tasty, but actually they don't satisfy. He's saying, come to the water, but actually it's poison for the soul. So how do we make sure we don't listen to his messages, but the message of God? Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones explains it like this. The main art in the matter of spiritual living is to know how to handle yourself. You have to take yourself in hand. You have to address yourself, preach to yourself, question yourself. You must turn on yourself, upbraid yourself, condemn yourself, exhort yourself, and say to yourself, hope in God. Instead of mustering in this depressed, unhappy way, and then you must go on to remind yourself of God, who God is, and what God has done, and what God has pledged himself to do for you. Then having done all that, end on this great note. Defy yourself, and defy other people, and defy the devil, and defy the whole world, and say with this man, I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance, who is also the health of my countenance and my God. That's what we're about. We're people who are reminding ourselves with God's help of gospel truth. Be assured of this. God is for us in this fight. His Spirit is working tirelessly, urging you, inspiring you to go to the waters, the living waters, the running waters, urging us to go to the living bread, Jesus, him alone who can satisfy our souls. See, our souls are made to rejoice in his souls. It's only there do we find satisfaction. Now, a note of caution as we draw to a close. In Isaiah chapter 6, we looked at many, many weeks ago, God commissions Isaiah. I'm sure you remember the passage. It's a great passage. But God tells Isaiah, and this is the shock of it all, God tells Isaiah to go and speak to a people who are not going to listen. Why won't they listen? Well, because they've become like what they've been worshipping. They've become deaf and blind by the idols that they've been following. If the things of God are boring to you, if you're always in need of pursuing something other than God, but yet it's just all vanity and you never actually get there, then be warned that your heart may be hard towards God. Today, the warning of Isaiah is, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Because if you harden your heart against the Lord Jesus, you might not get another chance. There is an absolutely wonderful story in the New Testament that illustrates all this so well, illustrates the gospel so well. In the New Testament, there was a lady who had health problems. She's really, really sick. And she's tried everything. She has spent every penny she has on the doctors. And the doctors have nothing, no answers, no help. But she did something. In her hour of need, she turned from the doctors. She turned from trying to find satisfaction anywhere else, anywhere in the world, and she turned to Jesus. And when she did that, she was instantly restored. Why? Because Jesus is the master doctor. He's the great surgeon, the great heart surgeon. And today, tonight, he invites us all to come. He bids us to come. He says, turn from those dead, futile idols, and come to me and find true, lasting satisfaction. The invitation says this, and with this we close. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Let's bow our heads and let's pray together before we sing our final song. Father, so often we are fooled into thinking gravel is bread. We are fooled into thinking poison for our soul is living water. And tonight we recognize we have an adversary who is waging war against our soul. And we're sorry for being tripped up in the past, but we know that we have turned there deliberately. It's not like it happened by accident. And we're sorry. And we pray that you would help us to be those who find satisfaction in you alone. Thank you that you say to us, people who have run from you, come. Come and be satisfied. Help us to do that. Help us to delight in the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask. We are weak and we need your help. Please, by your Spirit, help us to be strong. In Jesus' name, amen. Our final song is a relatively new one. We've sung it a few times.